Blog Talk Radio.
Something for my godson Elijah and a little girl named Corinne.
Some say the black of the best, the sweet of the juice. I say the dark of the flesh and the deep of the roots. I give a holler to my sisters on welfare. Tupac kids, if don't nobody else care. And I know they like to beat you down a lot. When you come around the block, brothers crown a lot. So sweet, don't cry, dry your eyes, never let up. Forgive, but don't forget, girl, keep your head up. And when he tells you you ain't nothing, don't believe him. And if you can't learn to love, you should leave him. Cause sister, you don't need him. And I ain't trying to catch up, I just call him how I see. You know what makes me unhappy? When brothers make mates and leave a young mother to be a mess. And since we all came from a woman, got our name from a woman, and I came from a woman. I wonder why we take from our women, why we rape our women, do we hate our women? I think it's time to kill for our women, time to heal our women, be real to our women. And if we don't, we'll have a race of babies that will hate the lady that makes the baby. And since a man can't make one, he has no right to tell a woman when and where to create one. So will the real men get up? I know you're fed up, lady, but keep your head up. I remember Marvin Gaye used to sing to me. He had me feeling like black was the thing to be. And suddenly the kettle didn't seem so tough. And though we had it rough, we always had enough. I hopped up off about my curfew and broke the rules. Ran with the local crew and had a smoke or two. I realized mama really paid the price. She nearly gave her life to raise me right. And all I had to give her was my pipe dream. And how about the mic and make it to the right screen. Trying to make a dollar out of 15 cents. It's hard to be legit and still pay your rent. And in the end it seems I'm heading for the pen. I try to find my friends, but they're blowing in the wind. Last night my buddy lost his whole family. It's gonna take the man in me to conquer this humanity. It seems the rain will never let up. I try to keep my head up and still keep from getting wetter. You know it's funny when it rains it pours. They got money for wars but can't feed the poor. Said it ain't no hope for the youth. And the truth is, it ain't no hope for the future. And then they wonder why we crazy. I blame my mother for turning my brother into a crack baby. We ain't meant to survive, cause it's a setup. And even though you're better, you got to be okay. By your lonesome, thanks the Lord for my kids, even if nobody else want them. Cause I think we can make it, in fact, I'm sure. And if you fall, stand tall or come back for more. Cause ain't nothing worse than when your son wants to know why daddy don't love him no more. You can't complain, you was helpless. Hell of a hand without a man feeling helpless. Because there's too many things for you to deal with. Dying inside, but outside you're looking big. Why the tears is rolling down your cheek. You're steady hoping things don't all fall this week. Cause if it did, you couldn't take it. And don't blame me, I was given this world, I didn't make it. And now my son's getting older and older and cold from having the world on his shoulders. While the rich kids are driving this, I'm still trying to hold on to surviving friends. And it's crazy, it seems they'll never let up. Please, you gotta keep your head up.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Table Talk with T. I see everybody coming into the chat room. Welcome, welcome. I was just noting in the chat room that I'm trying to keep my headset on. My hair done got so big I have to pull it back with a hair tie. So I'm hoping this headset stays in place. Had to take it off and go wrap up my hair real quick. Ronan, you on the line?
Yes, I am, and I'm not the father.
Shh. shut up. Okay, we got to get you on Maury then, huh? So anyways, we're going to have a really interesting show tonight. A lot of people have been requesting it about the whole black women, black men beef that just is continuously, it's been going on for a while now, the whole gender war situation. I would say it started a few years ago back on YouTube, but I think the person who originated it, even though it's been up for a while, but the person who, when you think of their name, you think of gender wars, the whole black men hating black women, and that's Sergeant Willie P. And so a lot of people have different things to say about that topic. So we can start with Sergeant Willie Pete. How did you feel about him, Ronan, and when you first found him on the Internet, what did you think?
When I first got on the YouTube, I thought it was interesting to hear from his perspective because he said a lot of on-point things, but then after a while, after listening enough, certain things like, were taken way out of context. Like usually when someone says something, I try to cross-reference it from what I see and experience. And, you know, there's not just him, but it's really just the, I guess, the acolytes that was following him. You had, like, the, I think the colonels and the some guy, some overweight guy, he was talking about Sergeant Willie Peace the truth, and, you know, he pledged his life to him, and that's where it got a little weird. But after that,
yeah,
I mean,
he did.
I think I talked to him on the show one time, once or twice, and, you know, we can relate on some issues, but then some parts were, like, you know, on the other side of the spectrum. So, I mean, like, interesting dude, but he's like a live wire when it comes to certain subjects like this.
Right, you know, and I think part of his appeal was his personality because he was funny, he would do these voices, and I mean, when I first started getting sent his videos, I'm like, at first, I just thought I want to turn it off. I'm like, I'm not about to sit here and watch somebody with no picture, no face. I'm just staring at this black background with a yellow patch going on black women. And then when I heard a lot of the stuff that he was saying, I was agreeing with a lot of the things that he was saying, a lot of the stuff. But I'm big on self-reflection, you know, so it's like I could see his point. I could see where he was coming from. You know, I didn't agree with everything, but I saw his point. And then he had emailed me. I did a video about dark-skinned women are not my preference, something like that. And he seen the video, and he liked it. So he sent me an email, and we had chopped it up, whatever. And, you know, we just talked, and he's just a regular guy. And so I thought that was really, really interesting. And then he got ran off of YouTube. You know, we all know the story behind that. They ran him off of YouTube. And now you have a lot of other people who are trying to be the next Sergeant Willie Pete or, you know, take his place. And I guess the part that's just, you know, that's irritating is just there's so much generalization. You know, and that's what I don't like. I don't like being thrown into a bucket just because I have black skin, you know, that I'm just like every black woman because I want to be seen as an individual, just like I'm sure a lot of black men want to be seen as individuals. You know, and I guess that's the issue with the whole gender war situation when you just paint a whole group of people and say they all behave this way. So Roshani's saying in the chat room is she says that I think a huge reason is because that there are so many people brainwashed by music and music glorifies light skin and mixed women. And, yeah, so there's also a lot of things in the movies that stereotype us as well. You know, but I just think that any time you go out your way to continuously put down your race, after a while, you know, I have to kind of look at you like, are you really trying to better us? Are you really trying to come up with a solution? Are you just downing people? You know, because it's easy to say that all black women are this and all black men are that when that's not necessarily the situation. So what are some of the things that you heard as far as, like, you know, you have a lot of generalizations out here. You have a lot of black men who don't want to date black women anymore. So why do you think that is, Ronan?
There's a lot of stuff that goes into it. There's some people who are color struck. There's some who honestly believe in the sweeping generalizations out there. You know, some believe that, you know, there's a bit of self-hatred in there too, or they are comfortably ignorant with the limited information that they know of. I mean, you know, it's like from both, even if it's like a fad to where if a woman's light skin, it believes that she's more beautiful anything. And I've seen some light-skinned women who are visually abrasive. You know, and I mean, like, beauty is not limited to skin tone or gender or actually creed or anything. But you have people who are so limited in their thought, that's what we face. It's silly as shit, but hey.
Right, and the phone lines are jumping. I see a lot of people listening in. If you guys want to comment, just make sure you hit the number one so that way I can let you in. VH1 Access is saying that he agrees on Love and Hip Hop. The Other Night Consequence wanted the rapper chick to say the lyrics light skin, right skin, and she wasn't comfortable with that even though she was light skin. And I did see that. I had DVR'd it. It was Lori L. And right. That was really interesting, and I'm going to do a video on it, and it just shows you how warped Consequence's mind is. First of all, you're a Muslim, and mm-hmm. you're dating a white girl, and the white girl's not even a Muslim, so they have this interfaith conflict. And then it's like he goes out his way to, you know, say that light skin is a right skin and tell that white girl she can get in. You know, I just thought that was kind of crazy. And I like the fact that L'Oreal, stood to her guns, and she was like, no, that's not cool. And L'Oreal is biracial herself, really beautiful girl, but she said she wasn't comfortable with that. Whereas, you know, I was probably expecting her to be like, oh, okay, that's what's up, because so many people get so boosted when they hear that word red bone, or when somebody gives them a compliment on their skin tone, they get boosted. And I'm like, that's really nothing to get boosted about. You know, it's just, that doesn't make you any different, because like you said, there's light-skinned girls who are not attractive. There are dark-skinned girls who are not attractive. There are dark-skinned girls who are pretty. There are light-skinned girls who are pretty. Me, personally, I go off of the features of that person, you know, what I'm attracted to. But, you know, as far as skin tone, I don't think that really bears anything. But it's kind of unfortunate, you know, that he would make a comment like that, and a lot of people went in on him on Twitter. But it just goes to show you how brainwashed a lot of people are, is that they automatically think that light skin is the better skin. And I tend to, and you know, it just seems like it usually comes from dark-skinned men. You know, like, even when I said in that video that when I was in the club and the guy told me I was really pretty and if only I was a few shades lighter, like, that hurt. You know what I'm saying? I was a shorty back then, so I was, like, you know, 18, 19, and it's like, dang. But it's like I heard that so much growing up, like, you know, you're really pretty to be dark-skinned. You're a pretty dark-skinned girl. And I'm like, well, damn, I have a family full of pretty dark-skinned, you know, females, or I know a lot of pretty dark-skinned females. I don't understand that, you know, just because you see one ugly dark-skinned girl, that shouldn't reflect all dark-skinned women, you know. Yeah. But it seems like it's a lot of dark-skinned dudes that tend to push that stereotype out there that, you know, like Consequence said, light skin is the right skin, when, you know, it shouldn't even be about the skin tone. You know, is that woman worthy of your attention and your time? Is she a good woman? Why does it necessarily based off of skin color?
All of that's based on a lot of superficial standards. And, you know, growing up, there are a lot of kids who were, you know, actually segregated by those standards. Like, some of the kids at school were cruel back then. They would say so many things like nursery rhymes and stuff, but that stuff was taught from what they learned. And then you got kids that grow up with a complex. So you have, kids or even teens trying to bleach their skin and go through all kind of extreme means to, like, you know, fit in to where they just actually hurt themselves. So there's a lot of wounded people out there on that. But, you know, but when you think about it, once you get past the whole skin thing, it actually affects everybody. Because I've been put in a situation where there's a woman of a different race who kept making a big deal about my ethnicity, you know what I'm saying, chocolate this and all that stuff, and it turned me off. I mean, like, that's when you start being reduced to a fetish, and they dehumanize you with their words and their thoughts.
Right. And Salacy, she's saying in the chat room, I remember I had a light-skinned friend that came up to me and was like, cool, your skin's getting lighter. I'm like, what the F?
Wow.
I mean, it's wintertime, so my skin lightens out, but I wasn't studying that, and obviously she was. And, you know, it's true, you know, people do get boosted off of certain things, certain features. And to me, there's nothing wrong with having a preference. I'm not saying that if your preference is light-skinned women or light-skinned men, and that's what you're, you know, just naturally attracted to, then that's fine. But I guess where some people get upset is when you have to knock other people to big up your preference. You know what I'm saying? If I only date Mexicans, that's cool, but I shouldn't knock every black man out here just because I date Mexicans. You know, and it seems like we have a lot of that going on where you have so many black men on YouTube and, you know, on the internet in general because they're dating an Asian or they're dating a Puerto Rican. It's like, F all black women. Y'all black women ain't shit. My beautiful Asian queen. It's like, damn. You know, like they go hard. Like it's just like over the top. You know what I mean? It's like, it's insane. It's like she has no flaws and she never gets upset. And all she does is cook, you know, meals. And as soon as he gets home from work, his slippers are at the door. It's like, come on now. Come on now. Every woman has their flaws. You know what I'm saying? Nobody is perfect. Like, I just, that always trips me out when people go out their way to put certain people on such high pedestals.
I wanted to clear that up because, like, a person's ethnicity and skin color does not predicate their behavior. There are some women, like, in the chat room or listening, even yourself, T, who are very attractive. And then there's some chicks who could be different shades across the the spectrum, and they could be just as appealing as a shit-covered brick. But it doesn't, it pales in the comparison of what they can bring to the table. It's all about how does this person treat me? I mean, is this person an asset or a liability in my life? Or can I get along with this person? Can I see this person beyond the superficial stuff as far as the tone or whatever, you know, rigid preference that people have? Again, it's just like VH1 said, there's a lot of people who experience this in different cultures and everything, but they do it in so many ways. But for some reason, it's been glamorized in the black community. Like, you pit the young against the old, light skin, dark skin, good hair, bad hair. All this superficial shit that tells people to tear each other's self-esteem and even their own apart. And that's what that's one of the many things that destroy our communities. So,
right. And I do what everybody's saying in the chat room. You know, like VH1 Access was saying that, you know, Indians, Hispanics go through it. Lacey's saying that she's Jamaican, her family do it too. And we have that in our family, and I'm African. And we get that too, where, you know, our light-skinned family members are somehow given more praise, or our cousins who are half Nigerian, half white, it's like they're seen as more pretty. You know, so it's kind of crazy, but it does. And I think, you know, within the black community, you have a lot of people who are hurt. You have a lot of self-hate issues that are going on with people, and they ingrain that into their kids. I remember, you know, hearing, like I was just playing the Tupac song, Keep Your Head Up, and I remember hearing that when he said that, you know, the blacker the berry, the sweeter the juice. And I remember I was saying that, y'all like, oh, okay, cool, the blacker the berry, the sweeter the juice. And then this chick comes up to me at school, I'm like in seventh grade, and she's like, yeah, but if you're just too black, it isn't any use.
Wow.
I'm like, what? Yeah, you already mixed it. And that has stuck in my head ever since junior high. So whenever I think of the blacker the berry, the sweeter the juice, I always think of this crackhead walking up to me. Like, and you're just too black, it isn't any use, you know. And it's sad. A lot of people, you know, really think like that. Like, you know, the darker you are, the less attractive you are. But I want to ask you guys in the chat room, how much of a role does Hollywood play in this? Because when you think about it, when you think about the stereotypes, the movie roles, and things like that, whenever you have a dark-skinned chick, okay, let's keep it 100. Whenever there's a dark-skinned chick, regardless if it's reality television or a movie, she's always the angry one. She's always the loudmouth one, you know. And then it's like, especially she's a big girl. If she's a big girl, she definitely has to be angry, you know, fat, black, and angry. And that's what they usually show, you know. So I think, I don't know if a lot of people look at what they show in the media and then they then personify it because they think that that's how you're supposed to behave. But, like, I was watching The Face the other day. I had DVR this. I've just been trying to catch up on stuff since I've been working. And the girl on there who has the shittiest attitude, who's trying to fight all the other models, who keeps arguing with the Asian people, I mean, she just has a nasty disposition, dark-skinned chick. She's not fat because this is a model competition, but she's dark-skinned. You know, and it's like, why is it always the dark-skinned chicks just, you know, going way overboard, just going off? Now, there's another dark-skinned girl on there, too, and she's more demure, and, you know, she's real cool, and, you know, I have no issues with her. Nobody has any issues with her. But it's just like, why can't we just all be grown? You know, even when you watch shows, you know, like certain movies, like when Norbit, how he played Rasputia, and Rasputia was a big, you know, angry dark-skinned woman, even though it was Eddie Murphy. But it seems like they basically categorize those roles for particular skin tones. And I think that's why people have it in their head that, you know, most dark-skinned people are not attractive, they're overweight, they're always angry. And then as opposed to that, when you see light-skinned women on TV or movie roles, they're usually the wifey, the girlfriend, the dime piece, the one that everybody's running behind, the pretty girl. You know, she's soft-spoken, she carries herself well. So I think those roles for somehow, you know, somehow have gotten embedded into a lot of people's psyches, and I think a lot of people, you know, personify what they see in the movies and on television.
I can agree with that. But I think the gullible play an even greater role because a lot of times they, with the media, they will typecast people to play certain roles, but you got people who buy into them and have this already broken self-esteem, you know, and they'll go the extra mile to meet these stereotypes and then some. So I say the public, with they hold a greater role of responsibility, because if that's not who they are, they shouldn't be something they're not.
Right, right. So we have a few callers that are trying to call in. I have area code 402. I'm going to go ahead and let you in on the line here.
Where were y'all at?
Area code 402, you're live with Table Talk with T. Who is this?
This is Blackman 37.
What's up?
This is who?
What's up, Ronnie?
You're chilling,
yeah,
man.
Yeah. Oh, same here. No, you were asking a question. You wondered if Hollywood plays a role in it. Of course they do. You know, they play a role in every, pushing any stereotype they can to sell. And especially when it comes to us. So, of course, the darker you are, the more negative you will get. Because that's
right.
Going to sell, you know. And you, it wouldn't sell if you didn't have a population of people that didn't buy into it. You know, the brown bag theory, you know, brown bag initiation. If you're not the color of a brown bag, you couldn't get into certain clubs. This wasn't started by white folks, mostly started by us.
Right.
And especially in the South, in some of these black colleges. So you have that going on. And then, you know, the notion that just because you're dark, you're evil, you're wicked. You know, this, the whole word black is just, you know, I would say is known for just being wicked or disgusting, because if you're a black cat and you walk a certain way across somebody's path, that's evil. So if you think that's evil, what are you going to think about a person who has a skin color that's black?
Right.
Oh, it's just, yeah, it's a damn shame that, you know, we have to go through this. And it's been done.
Now,
so
speaking
many
on
years.
The paper bag rule,
mm-hmm,
that you were,
mm-hmm,
just talking about, now you know they're still doing that. Like, they've been parties that they throw on light skin versus dark skin and things like that. Have you heard about those parties, and you have any thoughts about those?
Oh, yeah, I've heard about them. I've read articles about those. That I know some of the brothers, mm-hmm, that do that, they do catch some hell from it. Because people, they don't want to see that. They don't want to have to go through that. That's ridiculous.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's just ridiculous. You, I mean, if it wasn't for dark-skinned Africans, a lot of us wouldn't be here. Keep it real. Okay? The only reason a lot of us are lighter-skinned is because some European colonists raped our relatives. And next you know, we are here, or had mixed with some of us, and that's why you're lighter. Period. That's
right.
What it all boils. That's what happened, you know. And for those who say all that wild stuff, obviously you don't read or you don't know your history. You didn't get light skin just for the hell of it. You became light skin because of the mixture, or I call it rape, because you were raped. That's how you got light or light brown or medium brown, because a lot of the times they were dark. The Sudanese, or what they call the Kushites, were very dark-skinned,
mm-hmm,
people, you know. Even the Egyptians, because people, you know how you hear about the Egyptians, because everybody really thinks the Egyptians were really this light-skinned group of people. They weren't always that light. That's because the Greeks and the Romans went down into Egypt, or, you know, Kemet, and they were mixing or raping those people. Next thing you know, you got a lighter caste. And they've done that all over the world. That's why Asians are lighter, the East Indians are lighter, the Latinos are lighter. It's because all that raping that the European went when he went through the world. That's just the history of it. And Latinos, yeah, Latinos go through it. They have it bad though. They have it just as bad as we do.
Let me ask you, what do you feel specifically about the gender wars, like the black men versus black women?
I think there's a lot of people who just do not love themselves. And people who have been divided by somebody else's rule. I believe it's a playbook that was put together. Okay, best way to divide a people is you divide the woman and the man. And then when you got it going on so many years, you'll have that self-hatred. Next thing you know, you're going to give one better opportunities than the other. If I give the woman more opportunities and separate her man from her home, I mean, you cause conflict. The males don't get raised by a male figure because he's not there. Either because he don't want to be there or because he's being kept out.
Right.
You know, next thing you know, you're putting a female above the male and the female don't respect the male. Because a man's natural role is to be head of the house, but he's also supposed to have a respect for his wife, a respect for his woman. He doesn't mistreat her. He doesn't lie to her. He loves himself enough to love her and respect her and the children. And he wants to protect that house. He wants to make sure the house is in order. He wants to make sure they have anything or everything that is necessary for them to continue to live comfortably, mentally, spiritually, physically.
Right. Well, thank you so much for calling. I really appreciate your comments and everything you had to add. So I'm going to go ahead and place you back on hold, okay?
Okay. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. So, yeah, Air Code 402 definitely made some good points, you know, that it is to divide, you know, the black family and things like that. So I'm going to go over a list of things with y'all. This is a list that I found online for the top reasons why a lot of black men will not date black women. And I want to know y'all's opinion on this. I want Jamal to call in. since he just roamed in here late. He's on CP time. Go ahead and call in, Jamal. So this is these are the top 10 reasons why black men do not want to date black women. This is not all black men, but this is just coming from a black man's perspective. So the number one reason is the reason why black men do not want to date black women is that black women make black men feel underappreciated, unwanted, irresponsible, and regressive. What do you think about that?
There's some merit to some of that in a number of cases. I've experienced this personally, and there are a lot who are looking to use men as accessories, and coupled with some not just self-hate, but a growing bias against the men in general, there's a lot of it happening more than it needs to. So there is some merit to that.
Right. So the next one is, okay, I'm just going to go down the list. So another one is black women are too aggressive. They're not patient in waiting on the pursuit of a man. They rather just, you know, jump in the bed with any man. They don't want the man to pursue them. They rather, you know, act like the man and go pursue the men. And that's a turnoff to a lot of guys that don't like aggressive women. Okay? The next one is black women are too strong-headed. They're on this independent women, you know, BS, which presents a challenge in most relationships. Black women are masculine. They're controlling. They like to run the relationship. Black women expect way too much. They're all gold diggers who would not look twice if you're a blue-collar man. Black women are hot-headed and they have horrible attitudes. Black women stop caring about their appearance once they get to a certain age. The next one is black women are not as sexually open as other races in regards to oral sex. So, like, you know, where a white girl will, you know, have no problem sucking your dick, a black girl will be like, no.
I got to throw a flag in the play.
And then the next one is black women's tolerances are far too low. They're not empathetic toward the black man's struggle in white America, and the black women do not cater to their men. And then also, heavy set black women are not attractive. You got to throw that in there. You know, so there's a lot of stereotypes in here. I can understand being a woman where they're coming from with a few of them. Let me tell y'all a story. So there's this young man I know, and he had went to jail. So he had did some time in jail, whatever, and he got out, and he was trying to do the right thing. So he was like, okay, I'm just trying to do the right thing. I'm just going to go to barber school, learn to cut hair. But as you guys know, that can be slow money because you got to pay for your chair. Then it depends on if people come to get their hair cut or not. So it's not like a regular, you know, 9-to-5 where you're getting a steady paycheck, correct?
Right.
Okay. Right. So the chick that ends up getting with him, she knows this, but she's attracted to him. You know, he's a cute guy, whatever. So she gets with him. He's more of a thug type dude, but he's trying to go on the straight and narrow. And I can say, you know, from personal experience, watching their relationship, watching how everything transpired, she definitely did make him feel unappreciated. She did beat him down. She did talk down to him. She did do a lot of stuff to make him feel like he wasn't a man. And he was trying, you know. So it's like, what I didn't understand about the situation is that why would you get with somebody in that situation? You knew coming from the gate he was a thug, just got out of jail. He's working, you know, cutting hair. It's not like he's working, you know, even like a decent blue-collar job or a corporate job. So you knew this going in. She was a pretty girl, you know. So she knew this going in. So instead of saying, you know what, we need to just be friends or you need to get yourself together, she decides to be with him, but all the while berating him, you know, just doing crazy stuff to him, just treating him like crap. So they eventually break up. You know, now he's like, I had talked to him a while back, and he's like, you know, he's just stressed out about the whole situation, and he don't want to be bothered no more, and there's no more good women out here to have his back, and, you know, yada, yada, yada. And he just feels like he might have to just go back to doing what he knows. And, you know, like I was telling him, I was like, you know, you never go back down the same path that got you into trouble. That's stupid. You know, why would you risk getting into trouble again behind somebody not supporting you? You should be wanting to support yourself. You know, so I can understand where some black men can feel unappreciated, and especially in that situation because he was trying hard. But, you know, like people are saying in the chat room, a lot of it is generalizations, but there is some truth to it. But I think the gold digger part, you know, I hear that a lot, that black women are gold diggers, and I don't agree with that. Now, are there some women who are gold diggers who will only talk to a celebrity, who will only talk to an NBA baller? Yes, of course, you know, that. But that's in any race. But for me, I feel a lot of times that sometimes people feel like you should settle. And I don't think you should ever have to settle. You know, there's nothing wrong with dating a blue-collar dude at all. But I know for me, I want somebody who makes roughly what I make. You know what I'm saying? Because I've been in situations where I've dated somebody and they didn't make as much as I made, which is fine. But then it got to a point where they felt comfortable like they could just use me like I was just an ATM. Well, you make more than me, so, you know, I know you got me this time. It's like, hold up, I have you every time. Like, you know, I think it should be a two-way street. And I just feel like, you know, sometimes people look at it as somebody gold digging, but I think, you know, it should be where both people are comfortable, you know, as far as, like, their incomes go. You know, like, I just feel like for a woman, like, let's say you're not working or you're just getting a welfare check, well, who are you to demand a baller? Who are you to demand a dude that's making six figures and you get a $400 welfare check? That's stupid. You get what I'm saying? But I make decent money. I work hard. You know, I grind. So it's just like I expect somebody to be kind of where I'm at. I'm not going to be doing IT and talking to the fry cook. That's just me being real. I don't think that makes me a gold digger. I just know what I'm looking for, and I have that, and that's cool. But I think sometimes people get that misconstrued. Like, what do you think about that? I mean, do you think that black women should have to go with somebody who's more blue collar or who makes less than them just to get a man?
I actually think, first and foremost, go for the dude who treat you like a human being first. Aside from the occupation, and everything like that, how does this person handle their responsibilities, their finance, how they relate to their family? Because if they treat their family a certain way, you can expect the same treatment or similar treatment in that direction. There's other more important factors aside from the what they make a year, because there's some people who can make six figures, seven figures, and fuck their money off something serious. So
right. You
have to pay attention to some real serious factors. I can deal with a chick who's a shift manager at McDonald's. But how? I mean, again, you look at what's the direction she's taking. You know, is she using this as a stepping stone, or is this the best she can do? And for a broke chick to ask for a baller and she ain't even on the fucking court, where she got nosebleed seats, kill yourself.
But you see that all the time, though. Like, I be here, like, I mean, I know chicks who are like that. Like, you get a welfare check every month, but you down at the Timberwolves game hoping to snatch up a Timberwolves player. Girl, sit your ass down. But people do that. And that's the whole thing. And I also think it's an age thing. Like, I feel like, you know, at when you're younger, like, okay, if I'm 21, 22, do I expect the dude to be making, you know, 60, 70,000 a year or, you know, even 40,000? Hell nah. Y'all some shorties. You're still growing. You're still trying to figure yourself out. You're still trying to figure out your career. I'm sorry. By the time you're 40, you need to have something established, in my opinion. I don't want to talk to a 40-year-old, you know what I'm saying, aspiring rapper, a 40-year-old aspiring producer, a 40-year-old, you know, like, I sell weed on the side, but you know, and I do this. I don't want to talk to nobody like that in your 40s. Like I said, if you're 21, 22, I can understand that, but I'm not dealing with that with nobody over the age of 30. I think by the time you're 30, you should have some type of, you know, goal or direction in mind as far as where you want to go with yourself. I'm not saying you got to be making six figures. You could work at Burger King, but have you been at Burger King since you were 16 and you still cooking fries? Like, you're not running the place yet and you've been at Burger King? I mean, that's what I look at. It's not so much about you being the fry cook. Did you just get this job or have you been doing this job since you were 16? Are you Calvin from the commercial in the 80s? Is Calvin still flipping burgers? So I think, y'all remember Calvin. I think that makes a big difference. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just feel like it depends on the age and what goals you have.
But there's something I don't here's something I don't usually hear on a regular basis, like, you know, asking a person, you know, what is your direction? Like, real personal questions to see what this person is, because there's a lot of people who look at that person's financial resume and, like, I'm sold on that. I'll figure out the rest on the way. And then they find out this guy is a domestic abuse person, or you find out this chick is verbally or mentally abusive. I need to find out the most important parts of this individual, because I don't care if Halle Berry was sitting right next to me. I would not wife that chick up. I have to know your resume. And not financially, but how you handle yourself, because we're going to be in the middle of the street and you have very shitty conflict resolution, I'm going to leave your ass there and go home. Just point blank.
Right. Jamal said, he said, you got all these nickels out here chasing dimes.
No, you got dimes. You got pennies chasing food stamps. That's what you got.
It's a shame. And Sean said there's nothing wrong with wanting to equal. You know, and I definitely agree with that. And Jamal says that's why I love older women. You go, Jamal. And, you know, and that's funny, too, because it's like, you know, when I was still dating and stuff, I would always have, like, you know, like the young dudes coming at me, like, you know, like 21, 22. And I'm like, yo, like, you're like a shorty to me. But, and I would have to understand their situation. You know, they're 21. They're, you know, still in school or they're just working a part-time job. So, of course, I would not put a 21-year-old on the same plateau as somebody who's, you know, 35, 36. I don't expect a 21-year-old to be established. You know, so I expect a 21-year-old to be running around in Jordans and J's and stuff like that. But, you know, when you're 40 and that's all you have in your closet is just J's and, you know, no dress-up outfits, no nothing, you know, it's just funny to me. But I definitely think that there's nothing wrong, like Sean was saying, with being an equal. You know, and I think it has to make sense, you know, and I just don't feel like, I feel like if you are not doing anything with your life, if you're not on nothing, you can't demand for the person that's to be your partner to be way, way above here when you're not doing anything. You know, that always trips me on when people have such high expectations of other people, but they don't have those same expectations of themselves. What kind of shit is that?
Yeah, I mean, but when you look at it, say personally, I've been with a woman who was making more. Actually, she was kind of close to well off, but I was turned off by her because she was trying to buy my loyalty. I'm not a prostitute, you know.
You know, woman.
I mean, look. Now, look, if you are sitting there dropping dollars, I may drop my nuts on your forehead. I might, but, I mean, that ain't going to keep me there. I mean, I got my, and I'm going to say my pride, but, like, at least treat me like a man, a respectful man that requires and demands respect. But to think, you know, you're supposed to sit here and, you know, come boy and, you know, try to be some arm candy, I will push you in the middle of traffic. I don't give a shit.
Right, and you got to look out for that, too, because then you got some people who feel like they can fly people off because they have money or because they're well off, that they can just treat you like shit or treat you like you're beneath them because they're making more or they're doing more. And that's why I said, you know, you should, it should be more of an equal thing where you shouldn't have to be dependent on anybody. And I think in the relationship thing that I noticed, too, with a lot of people, you have a lot of girls who like the bum dudes. You know what I'm saying? Who, I can't do it. You know what I'm saying? Because I've been there when I was younger, and it's like, you know, relationships go through ups and downs. Things happen. People lose their jobs, and you hold your family down. But I'm sorry. I'm not about to sit here and talk to nobody who don't have no job. You know what I'm saying? You're the World of Warcraft king. You're the, you know, you're number one on the leaderboard for Call of Duty. You got too much time on your hands. Especially if you're a certain age, you know what I'm saying? Like, when I get up and I go to work, if I'm getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning to get ready to go to work because I got to be at work by 5 a.m., I hope you're getting up about 8 to go to your job as well. Like, I can't leave and go to work, and then I come back, you in the same spot, you ain't moved, you ain't done nothing. But it's like a lot of women are willing to settle for that, and I know Sergeant Willie T used to call it bummer nigga syndrome. You know, and it's true, and I think that should be the same for the guys. You know what I'm saying? You should have a woman who's motivated. A man is supposed to take care of the household as well and, you know, be financially stable and stuff like that, but the woman should also be contributing. You know, unless she's a mother and you guys have it worked out where she's going to be a stay-at-home mom, that's one thing. But if all you do is go to work and bust your butt and all she wants to do is lay around and get her hair and nails done, hell no. I might help you every now and then, but that, you know, I'm not just about to keep getting your hair and nails done and you don't feel like going to work and ain't shit wrong with you. So I think people should always have standards. And like Thomas is saying, roommates, you know, a lot of people have roommate situations and they're supposed to be in a relationship. And it shouldn't be like that. I don't think anybody should take advantage of the other person because that's the quickest way to ruin something. And I see that a lot in our community where it's like we're not holding people to a certain accord. You know, like we're just so happy to have a man, and just because he's black, we're willing to put up with a lot of extra nonsense, and it shouldn't be like that. I don't think that there's anything wrong with demanding that somebody be your equal and demanding that somebody, you know, help contribute and help take care of the household.
Well, there's some people who are content with a dildo or a sex toy with a pulse, and that's what some relationships are. They're just like a bookend to where I get the illusion that I'm happy, but actually I'm in a prison of misery that I created.
Right, and they always complain. He ain't shit. Da-da-da-da-da. Yeah. Well, why are you with him? And you know he didn't have nothing when you got with him, but yet you moved him in after a month. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? He's a living babysitter. And now you're mad because he's not doing what you want him to do because you thought somehow if you moved him in, you'd be able to change him. You don't motivate and change somebody by catering and doing everything for them.
Well, if you go back to that list, there's a great deal of generalizations out there. And I had this dude who was blacker than patent leather. And he was, and not to make fun of him, but the fact that he was ashy, he didn't keep up with himself. But he gave me a PowerPoint presentation as to why I should forget about dating women, black women, and deal strictly with white women. And his basic reason was part of that list. And I'm just scratching my head like, wait a minute, like when you come to say things about white women do more things sexually than black women, real talk, a lot of white women are given the room, a wide berth to do what they do without much being criticized, like other than black women. When black women do something, it is the talk of everything. This is how they get painted. By the acts of one or two chicks, they're painted by that. They figure that they treat women of color, even men of color, like a fetish. Like, you know, they keep making a big deal about your skin and, you know, all these so-called features and everything like that. And it's always about your color that comes into the mix. It's never about you. So, I mean, all that stuff with sexuality, I mean, there's some women of color who does some real nasty shit that I like better than most. So, I mean, that depends on the individual. So there's a whole lot of assumptions and unfounded bullshit that people allow to govern their lives to keep us ignorant as people generally.
Right.
That's sad.
And looks like we got another caller trying to speak. Area code 214. 214, I'm going to go ahead and let you in on the line here. And who is this?
Yeah, it's Quentin.
What's up?
Hey, Quentin. What up?
What do you do?
Quentin coming to the show?
You know, I got to tune in when he's, you know, send me texts and, you know, he's going
to What you got to say about black women? Because me and you be going back and forth on the phone.
Yeah.
What you got to add to the conversation, Quentin?
Yeah, that's why I called in. I knew this whole conversation was about me, you know.
Because I know you said you fed up with black women, a lot of black women, beyond funny stuff. And I mean, you know I'm not, because I always tell you, you can't generalize every black woman. So what are the things that you're seeing with black women where you live that turn you off?
A lot of stuff. Like, I got back in town, like, last week, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, I'm about to take one chick out, you know, the way she carry herself. He loud mouth, you know. He had ghetto in public.
Now, you send a lot of black chicks to you where you're at, act that way?
Yeah.
Okay, so what do you think is causing that, though? Like, why do you think they're out here just wilding out and acting loud and ghetto? Do you think it's, like, you know, just them or, like, influences from the media, television?
Yeah, the way they portray us, you know, how they portray all black people, like, you know, that we all just ghetto, the way we grew up and all that, where we come from.
Everybody in the chat room wants to know where you're from.
Yeah, everybody want to know where I'm from?
Yeah, where you from?
Oh, I'm from Dallas, you know, Dallas, Texas.
Texas, yeah. Ratchet folks.
Yeah, ratchet. Nah, you can't do it like that.
Ratchet Dallas. I'm going to need you to move. I told you to come up here and come visit.
Yeah,
but see, you'll come up here. There's a lot of white girls up here. So you'll come up here and get you a white girl. That's what'll happen.
I need to make a trip up there. You know, I can come give me a
But I told you, when you come up, I said you need to find a good black woman. And you can find a good black woman, you just got to look. You can't just say that,
nah,
all black
I'm
women
tired
like
looking,
that.
It's tired. You just can't keep looking for something that ain't going to be there, you know.
Put her on layaway.
I can't do that.
Let me ask you a question, Quentin. So do you feel like a lot of women, okay, so do you feel like it's wrong for a woman to want somebody who's equal to her? Do you consider that gold digging? And she's saying, okay, well, if you're working here, you know, like she works here, she does this particular type of job, she wants somebody on her level. Do you think that's wrong, or do you think she should just give everybody a chance?
Yeah, everybody she can, you know. I want somebody that got more money than me.
You want a sugar mama.
Yeah, I need all that. For me, every dollar.
Okay, see, now you want a sugar mama, Quinn, but what you bringing to the table, bro?
What you bringing to the table?
What you bringing to the table? So you want somebody who got money, but what you bringing to the table as well?
I bring everything to the table.
What's everything?
I got money and stuff. I just need somebody got more money than me, you know. But, you know, if someone I need someone, I have to call her. She'd be right there on my side. Don't worry about nothing. You know, like the rappers do. You know, they got a girl. They just take care of the girl, you know.
Right. And Thomas is saying in the chat, he said, hell no, never settle for potential. You always want somebody on your level or above.
You want somebody
and
make more money than you do.
I definitely agree with that.
You want somebody to make more than you do, don't you?
Right. I know I do.
Yeah, cool.
I
the basketball
sure
player's gonna marry you right now. He said, I wanna be with you, T. You'll leave everything you gotta be with that basketball player. He's mean her.
No, I wouldn't.
Yeah, you would.
Clinton's down. No, I wouldn't.
I'm saying a lot of black girls don't know how to act in public, you know. A lot of them know how to carry themselves. So they loud mouth, they, you know, don't come to her when they go out.
They don't come to hair.
Yeah. Well,
now, this ain't right, they don't comb my hair.
Well, look,
but my hair looking nice. I don't comb my hair at all. I comb my hair maybe once a month.
You look good. You look good with your natural hair. You got some grease on there. There you go.
I think they know what he's talking about because there's some chicks out there who just step outside, you know, looking like Daffy Duck with his beak shot off. Or there's some women who, you know, dress up like they got the whole onesie with the feet in them. I showed you that picture. They go out in public like just any old thing. Yeah, just like any old thing. I mean, and it's like, wouldn't say a great deal of them, but there's enough to where like, really, what the fuck is going on? You know,
right.
Especially the one you see in the store early in the morning with the pajamas on, like in half shoes.
I be seeing that too. Y'all ain't even over exaggerating because I'd be like, come on. I be seeing that too. Especially when you like, if I had to stop off at the hair store, you know, like the beauty supply store, just to pick up some stuff, and it's like you can just tell, you know, you just see a bunch of black girls in there, and they just be in slippers and pajamas and everything else, and it's 2-3 in the afternoon, and they just walking up and down the street. So yeah, I've seen it.
Even when they drag their feet on the ground, so it make it even worse. You know, they be, you know what I'm saying? Like, you be walking.
There's a number of women out there who do not keep themselves up. They either have booty do or look like a bad stack of blown tires. There's just some who just don't keep themselves up and have the nerve to, like, wear less when we need someone to wear a car tarp or something. It's just like they need to take care of themselves a little better. Or you got some who wear rainbow color hair or blonde hair and she's dark as night.
Yeah.
Or she's got she got hazel contacts or just got these Freddy Krueger painted claws or, you know, just all kind of ratchet nonsense that is unnecessary, or they're loud where quiet is appreciated. I mean, there's just a numbered group of them that's fucking up for everybody else. Now, there are some women of color who know how to carry themselves, but you guys have to understand, you have to check these ratchet bitches at the gate. Stop circling the wagons every time we call these broke hoes out and saying we're talking about all women. We're talking about those hoes. And when you surround yourself around them, you are included in the conversation too.
Yeah, we're talking about them too, so we just throw them back in the book where they belong at.
Right, and you know, a lot of people going in the chat room, they're talking about the rainbow color weave. A lot of people hate that. They're talking about the long nails. You know, some people think, and Rashani's saying that, yeah, some people think they can wear any hair color. And you can, I don't know. I guess you can because it's a free world, but I just, dark-skinned girls and blonde, platinum blonde hair, it's just not attractive to me, in my personal opinion. I just don't, it doesn't look natural. It doesn't go with your skin tone. I don't find it cute. Jamal said he hates bitches with silver weave.
Yeah.
I ain't seen that one yet.
I mean, just like there's some of them. Like, let's say you go out, T, and you go out there, you're dressed, and I've seen how you put your tie together, and then you have this Project Scarecrow who comes out there and she's hanging with you. She done dropped your stock 15 points alone just because she's your girl.
Yeah, I mean, for real. I think you're right, though, and I think that's why so many women get a bad rap, just for the fact that, you know, you might carry yourself with respect in a certain way, but if your crew is nothing but a bunch of chicken heads, they can't dress, they carry themselves nasty, you know, the way they're describing, then, like you said, it does lower your stock. It does make people look at you like you're loudmouthed, you're belligerent, you must act just like them. And as soon as you find out that certain females are like that, distance yourself. I have no problem with that. You know, I've gone out with somebody one time. You know, I've gone out with, like, a clique of girls when I used to, you know, do modeling this summer. So sometimes after shows, we go out to eat and stuff like that. And a lot of those girls are really cool, calm. You know, we have a good time. But I remember one time I went out with, like, another group of girls, and they was just loud, ghetto, you know, just rude to people. And, you know, because they were a size zero, they thought they could just make fun of anybody, you know, bigger than a two. And it was I didn't like their attitudes. I didn't like how they behaved and how they treated people. So that was cool. That was the first and the last time I ever hung out with them. And I think a lot of people should be comfortable to do that. You know, I think sometimes people hold on to friends or hold on to childhood friends and stuff like that. But when you see somebody's not growing and they're not progressing, cut them off. It don't make no sense to involve yourself in their nonsense. You know, I still know chicks who are in their 30s still go to the club to fight.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, come on, we're grown now. Who the hell still goes to the club to fight? You know, I ran into a girl one time downtown, and she was like, yeah, you know, I hope I ain't no drama tonight. I don't feel like getting jumped. Bitch, you're 35. Like, who has that much drama at 35 that you're scared to get jumped at the club? I was like, well, good night. She went one way, I went the other. I don't, you know, I ain't got time for that. I just think that's just, it's crazy and it's sad that a lot of people carry themselves like that, you know. And I just think that if more, like you said, if more women check the ratchet ones, I think after a while they're going to stop being ratchet. They're going to get embarrassed. They're going to realize that their behavior is not cute. And then there's going to be no reason for everybody to keep speaking out on it. Because it's to the point now where it's not just black men going in on black women and the way we behave, you know, supposedly the way we behave, but it's also, you know, all the other races. Now they're running with it. You know, especially when you see our own race steadily attacking each other 24/7, now other races are, you know, thinking they can do that as well.
But you know what, T, there's a lot of examples out there, and I've seen this, and I wish I didn't see it. There was a chick at the club. She could use the bathroom in the club. She was out in the parking lot taking a shit next to a car. And
what?
Then there was a, yeah, she took a
in
shit
front of
next
anybody?
To a car. People were just going into the club. She just like, ugh. Just like a sick-ass dude doing what she do. Or there's been some chicks who are getting fucked in the parking lot. There's some who are getting their backs blown out in church. I've seen all kind of ratchet-ass shit, and it doesn't matter if she dresses nice. There's different rats, different habitats. Same difference. They don't have to dress like hood boogers. It's all about a mindset. It's just the ones that have money tend to hide it well. They can do a little bit more with their ratchetness. So it's really a mindset more than anything. It's just the chicks out there with the rainbow color hair and, you know, the stomachs that look like freezer burnt oranges. You know, those are the ones we see first. So
that's crazy. Everybody in the chat room is like, what the hell?
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people in the chat room are saying that a lot of these women are out here fighting more than the guys. And
yeah,
it's true. You know, Sean was saying he's seen ladies in their 50s still at the club fighting. First of all, you 50. Why are you still at the club? I hope by the time I'm 50, if I make it to be 50, God willing, that I'll be chilling with my grandchildren somewhere. You know, not in and out the club and especially not fighting. That's crazy.
And
so, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I wanted to say on the other side of the token, there is a problem that helps make this problem continue. There are these thirsty dudes who not only lie to themselves, but they'll lie to these chicks and gas them up with everything they want to hear instead of everything they need to hear. And they will kiss your ass until they get what they want, which is some ass, and then they treat you like you're not about anything. So people have to be careful of these type of guys out here who sound good, but if their actions and words don't work in concert, you have a piece of shit on your hands.
Right.
Yeah.
Jamal said he hates going to clubs dealing with cock blocking bouncers and people bumping into you. Haru said she stopped going to the club a long time ago. But, yeah, you're right, because a lot of the dudes do gas up these girls' heads, and if somebody's telling that you look good and there's nothing wrong with your attire, even though, you know, your dress stops at your crotch or, you know, your hair is bright blue, of course you're going to keep on doing it because you think it's cute. Mm-hmm. And they're just saying that stuff just to gas you up to get some.
Yeah. And for the ladies, and I'll be graphic. Ladies, you have to understand, your pussy is not the center of the universe. Again, it's like, if that's what you believe, the power is in your panties, you have basically priced yourself out the fucking game for cheap. Because you have to have more than just what you do in the bedroom or whatever. There's got to be a lot more, otherwise you're a part-time cum dumpster.
So true. I can't argue with that. Camera lady said when she was in the younger club, there'd be 4 to 5 fights a night. She said, but the older club, they don't fight. There might be a fight once a month. Yeah, it is. It's like people just go out just to fight. It's crazy. It's like I don't even see, like, why anybody would have that much drama now, especially if you're older. You know, everybody should be on their shit. Like, I'm trying to get money. I want to wake up tomorrow. I got kids. But people still be fighting. It's ridiculous. I mean, we was at this one club last summer, and you know, we're just coming out the club, and, of course, two girls start fighting. They just start macing, pepper spray. You know, and that shit, it got in my lungs, you know, and I already have issues with breathing. I don't, you know, need to breathe in this shit. I haven't been back to that club since. Like, it's just like, this is insane. Like, people just can't go out and have a good time. You know, it's like they're going out just to show out and fight and everything else, and the police are just out there spraying people now. I mean, that was, like, just a horrible feeling. It wasn't like we were, like, right in the vicinity, but it's just how quick it spread. And then when you breathe it in and, ugh, you're just choking and spitting up everywhere. I was like, never again. Mm-mm. Hell no. So now you guys were talking about black women, like, one of the, we're talking about the 10 reasons why black men don't want to date black women. So it's a list for all those who are just, there's a lot of people rolling in here kind of late, so we're just going through this list. So you agree that some black women, as they get older, they just let themselves go? Because that's what the guy was saying, that black women stop caring about their appearances after a certain age.
Some don't wait till they get older. Some fall apart after 21. You know, some look like a blown tire, or some look like, I don't know, just a refried bag of shit. I mean, it's like, and they think it's cute because the guy's still hitting it. But the thing is, like, just as you go to the gym and a number of women actually take care of themselves and keep up their appearance, that's what you're supposed to do as a matter of self-esteem. But there's some who just figure, I can get by with the bare minimum, and there's some thirsty dude who supports that. That's not helping the cause in any way. It just isn't.
Right, but don't you think that it's just, I think some women do let themselves go. You know, I can't even say if it's just black women, you know, but I think there are some women after a certain age, they do let themselves go. I mean, yeah. I see girls who look twice my age, and they're 19, 20, and they literally look like they're in their 30s. You know, and I'm just like, you know, you gotta take care of yourself, period. You know what I'm saying? But there's a lot of guys, too, though, that tend to let themselves go after a certain, you know, age as well. So I think it's a two-way street. You know, I don't think a man should let himself go just because he feels like he got a dime piece on his arm or, you know, his girlfriend's pretty, so he can just, you know, let himself go and gain a bunch of weight. And I think it should be the same. I mean, I think he's generalizing, of course. A lot of his comments about black women are generalizations. But, you know, there are people who do let themselves go after a certain age. I can agree with that. But it's not all, of course.
Well, with the guys, there's some friends of mine that I've had, like, across the country that, you know, I would tell them, like, look, aside from your genetic makeup, if you're, you know, you're built a certain way, as long as you're healthy, you're fine. But, dude, you got to clean up your appearance. You got to clean up your house. No one should sit on a couch and roaches start doing wind sprints from under it. Or, you know, she shouldn't smell you from two blocks away. Or, you know, your titty shouldn't be bigger than hers. So, I mean, it's like, dude, just take care of yourself. I mean, it's not, and then you got guys who are slender who just, not only do they not take care of themselves, they don't take care of their mindset. Like, everything out of their mouth is a curse word or something basic. No one gives a damn about what happens in Vibe or any of this trash magazines and stuff like that. Have something of substance to talk about. You know, have a measure of depth. And, you know, just think beyond the tip end of your dick. That's basically what I'm saying. Because there's just some guys figure, like, that's the essence of manhood, and it isn't. And I haven't been out there, but if you don't have anything else to show outside of that, it's not going to go anywhere. It is not.
Right. Now we went over the stereotypes for black women. Now, there's a lot of stereotypes, of course, as well for black men. So I know one of the main stereotypes, the other one, too, about black women is that most black women are single mothers. You know, so that's one thing that a lot of guys tend to hate. But, again, you got to ask yourself, they didn't become single mothers by themselves either. You know, but you do have a majority, you know, who do go out here and they get pregnant. They didn't know the guy from a can of paint or really didn't know anything about him. And then the guy bounces, and now they're forced, right, you know, and now they're forced to raise their kid. So I think that that's a situation in itself. But I think, or like Roshani's saying, by thugs, jailbirds, you know, stuff like that.
It goes well beyond the thugs. There's people, I mean, I've heard it on the radio show yesterday where said if a guy, if he is fine, that's the first thing she finds out, and then she'll worry about the other stuff later. Like a lot of superficial decisions. Like he could probably look good, but he's probably a handsome Holocaust where he's probably easy on the eyes, but he's hard on your wallet in life. And
right.
you got some guys who go out for women who are beautiful retards, you know, who they look good on your arm, but they look even better with a pile of bubble wrap to keep them distracted in public. So you just have to really find out what this person's about. You know, aside from what you see visually, there has to be something on another level that you find attractive or appealing to them. You know, because
right.
age has a shelf life for some people. Some age like milk in the desert. So I'm just saying.
Just dry as hell. You know, and that's the one thing about, like, the whole single mother thing that, you know, sometimes I hate that term, too, single mother. You know, because when you say that you're a single mother, people think, like, you know, either you don't know who your baby's father is or he left right after the child was born. And, you know, and I hate that single mother stereotype. You know, that's why a lot of times I don't even reference myself to no shit like that. You know, am I a single mother? Yes, I am now, you know, divorced. But, you know, so I thought, I guess you can say into that category, but I just hate how it has that, like, that negative connotation with it because everybody's situation is not the same. You know, not everybody became a single mother because, oops, they were just, you know, sport fucking, like you said, and got pregnant. You know, some people were married, marriage ended, and the kids live with me. You know what I'm saying? So I think everybody's situation is different, but so many times people just kind of blur the lines. But, so one of these stereotypes that about black men is the fact that they're deadbeats. They don't take care of their children. You know, they're so quick to, you know, knock you up and everything else and then keep it moving. So why is it that black men don't take care of their children? Because that's one of the, you know, stereotypes out there for black men.
Many cases vary. A lot of times there are the mothers of the children that do not produce a conducive environment for those children to be taken care of, especially in the discipline or the raising of the children. There's a lot of conflict. And usually a guy is going to only take so much, and sometimes he, like, figures leave the situation. But it comes at a great cost to the children because those are the ones who suffer the most. Or if she is, or if neither one of them are mature enough to be parents instead of just, you know, kids with, you know, added responsibilities. That's just part of it. But then again, it comes to the choice that the person makes. If they, like, become stigmatized and figure this guy's, you know, the baby dad, I'm going to make him be a father by taking the child support court, they ain't going to make him do shit but make payments. Either he's going to want to do it or not. You can't force anybody, you can't strong anybody, arm to anybody to be a mother or a father. That's what people tend to forget. Just because the baby's here, I mean, there's people I know that don't even take care of their own. They made the baby and everything. They did the thing to make the situation happen, but when it was here, oh, it's too much. I'm losing my youth. You made that decision.
Right. I'm getting old, and? The hell? People, too, with the excuses they have for not taking care of their kids, I think the worst, the guys I don't respect, are the ones who don't take care of their own kids, but then we're shackled with a bitch with 2-3 kids. So you're not going to take care of your biological children, but you're going to take on another man's responsibility. Like, that always trips me out, you know, and that's one thing I always said, you know, before I ever got into a relationship with another guy, if he had children, how does he treat those children? Does he take care of his children? Because I'm not going to get with a guy who's dodging child support, who refuses to step up and take care of his kids and then expect him to do for mine. That's crazy. I wouldn't even feel right for a guy to do for my children but not even take care of his own kids. So I think we have a lot of trifling women, too, who are cool with that situation. Like, they could care less if the guy, you know, does anything for his biological kids as long as that the man's there for her children, you know, which is unfortunate. But then again, that's on that man.
And there's that that a video that you made not too long ago where you have some parents who are really fucked up or they use their children as child support, I mean unemployment vouchers or like parental chess pieces. like
right.
to make them do
that.
What they want. And then you, okay, it's not to say that you can't date a woman who has children or a guy, but you have to go back to the history as to what created this and what you're dealing with, because you're
right.
dealing with an entire package. And there's some people who figure out, like, I'm not up for this shit. You got five baby daddies, and that's just too much. That's too much. Or same thing
right.
with a woman. You know, you got all these chicks out here, and you got a new, how would you feel as a woman that every month, and I've seen this in person, every month, the guy you're with tells you, look, you know, I found out I got a new baby, you know, I want to introduce the baby to you, and, you know, this baby's going to be a part of my life. How would you feel about that?
Right. Oh, yeah, there's some dudes out here that are straight up tripped. You know, who got a shitload of kids, be lying about it and everything else, and, you know, out here just messing around on people and having kids on people, and it's unfortunate. And, you know, everybody has their preferences. You know, a lot of guys don't want to date single mothers. And I can respect that. I remember I was talking to my homeboy one time about that, and, you know, when I was first thing my date, and I was kind of scared because I'm like, you know, well, I'm a single mother. I got two kids. I wonder if guys are going to judge me. Like, that's too much. That's baggage. And he said it all depends on how you got those kids. He said, you know, a guy looks at the situation. You know, was it a fly-by-night? You don't know who the father is, or, you know, were you married? Well, you know, there's a lot of different factors to a guy who will accept a woman, you know, who is a single mother. But, you know, I can respect guys who don't date, you know, women with children. I don't know why women get mad about that shit. I never understood that. I'm mad at you. You don't have no kids, Ronan. But I'm mad because you don't want to be with me and my children. What kind of I wouldn't want to force myself or my kids on anybody. And I feel like if that man doesn't have children, he doesn't have children for a reason, you know. And I don't think women can get mad if a man doesn't want to date a single mother. I don't think you have any right to get mad.
But it's a person's preference. And I think it's comical
right.
when people say that, like, oh, well, what you got against a person with children? Like, maybe I'm not ready for all that yet. I mean, it's not
right.
maybe. Or the thing is, there are some guys who do not date women with children because what if things get to where he's more attached to the child than she and then her, and they fall
right.
out. So not only does he have to break up with her, he has to break up with the child. And that, having done that before, that's a fucked up feeling. It
right.
is. So it goes well beyond you, because I told you, it's a whole package deal. Same thing with a woman. She may love that child, but her daddy might not be worth shit. So she has to eventually leave him alone and the baby alone. And that's psychological damage there. Not on an epic scale, but then, like, you might love that kid and wonder what's going on with him, but then you got to deal with that.
Right, and Camera Lady made a really good point. Camera Lady says she doesn't have any kids, and sometimes she runs across guys that are single fathers, and they have their kids living with them, and she admires them for that, but she doesn't want the guy that she's dating to think that she's suddenly going to be an at-home mom. And I agree with that, and my guy, he's a single father, so he has, you know, his kids, they live with him, And I guess it just worked out because, you know, I have my two, he has his two, so we're kind of like the bootleg Brady Bunch. How you doing? So, so you know, it kind of worked itself out. But that was another thing, too, that I had to think about, because sometimes single fathers, they tend to want you to be the mother. And I dated a guy who was a single father, and, oh, my gosh, he's getting on my nerves because he thought he was supposed to get this undue praise. Because he was a single father, and he would always, like, throw that in my face. Like, if I couldn't, you know, like, his car broke down or some shit, he didn't have a car. And so, what are you dating? Like, you're not even my man. And, you know, so a few times I had given him a ride, you know, to go get his child from daycare and stuff like that, but I don't owe you nothing, homie. Like, we're just talking right now. And so it was like I was out, you know, with my girl. We were, you know, shopping, whatever, and we got caught up in traffic. Like, it was like a traffic jam. So I had told him that day, you know, I could come get him from work, but we got stuck in traffic. Like, literally, it was a traffic jam. So by the time I make it to where he's at, it's going to be another hour. You might as well just do what you was doing before you met me and jump on the bus. He gave me this whole spiel about how he's a single father, and that's not right, and like, you don't get undue praise because you're a single father. I'm a single mother. Don't nobody, you know, give me props. that's what you're supposed to do. When one parent is not stepping up or doing what they have to do, that's your job, because these kids didn't ask to be here. You know, but a lot of people just want, you know, pats on the back for basic shit that you should be doing. You know, so it's crazy. But I do admire single fathers. I admire guys who can step up and take care of their kids, especially when the mother has just, you know, fallen out of hell. I respect that. But then you have some guys who feel like you're supposed to be the at-home mom. And for Camera Lady, for her to not have any kids, that can be a lot of pressure. Now, I have kids, so I know how to deal with children. But, again, I'm not trying to take on, you know, 4, 5, and 6 kids. You know, so that was my whole thing, too, is there's a limit. I don't want to be with the guy who has more kids than what I have. I'm bringing 2 to the table. You need to have no more than 2. I didn't want to talk to a guy with 6, 7 kids by 6 different women. I don't have time for that. It's enough dealing with 1 baby mama. I'm not trying to deal with 7.
And plus, what if that person, you know, gets with a person who has children? What if they want to have kids and you say no? And they sacrifice everything for an already ready-made family, and they tell you you can't have any kids with them. There's some people who feel some kind of way about that.
Right.
Well.
Yep, it's the truth. he was trying to, you know, really trying to be a mom or something. You know, it was just a lot. You know, it's hard enough trying to raise your own kids and then let alone, you know, taking on somebody else's responsibility, you know, which it's not a problem. It's just a two-way street. And you have a lot of guys out here who they'll have kids and they want you to play the stepmama role, but then they're not willing to do the same for your children. And women need to wake up and realize that. If the guy's not willing to step up and play that father role, you know, be that father figure, not be the child's father because the child has a biological father, but, you know, play that role, spend time with that child, get to know that child, do for that child the same way that you do for his children. If it's not a two-way street, you need to let that go. You know, because I'm not going to be taking your child with me on trips to the park and we're going here and I'm doing all this for your kid. But then when it comes to my kids, you know, it's like, y'all don't do nothing but watch TV. Where they do that at? You know, so I think everything has to be an equal balance and everything has to be a two-way street, you know, to make any relationship work.
Oh, you're right about that, T, because there's some people who deal with you, you know, they like you, but they don't give a fuck about your kids. So there is that situation.
Right. Oh, yeah. And the people need to recognize that, too. And I hate women who will go with the guy who don't give shit about, who don't give a damn about their kids. And it's like, you know, how is that okay with you? You know, it's just all about the sex, but he treats your kids like shit. He doesn't interact with their children. And I don't see how, like, guys can be okay with that. You know, and it's just, it's crazy. And it goes the same way for the guys who have kids where the women don't want to have nothing to do with your children. And the women treat, you know, that child like crap. I don't think that should be acceptable, but you have some people who are just weak and they just want to say so bad that they have a man or a woman that they're willing to let somebody abuse their child or treat their child like crap.
What's the next thing on the list, D?
Black women are hot-headed and have attitudes. We talked about that already. Oh, yeah, black men. Another generalization for black men is that they think they're God's gift to women when it comes to sex. That is. I hear that all the time.
Wow.
When it comes to sex, you know, like the old stereotype, black dudes are hung and, you know, black dudes put in work and everybody wants them. Like, they've just gotten really cocky and arrogant, basically, over the years. Because, you know, like, black men are wanted by other races of women because of the whole sex thing, but black women are loathed by everybody else. You know, black women are the ugliest creatures on earth. There was even a study saying that black women are the most ugliest race, you know, which is just complete and utter BS. But it's like, while black women are being treated as, you know, second-class citizens, black men are being put up here as, like, these, you know, sexual beings and stuff like that. So a lot of black guys, I think, tend to take that to their head as well.
But you look at the parameters on that box called a fetish. So I've heard that. Going overseas, I heard that mess, but I don't let it go to my head because, like, you know, that whole thing about sexual prowess, stuff like that, nowadays it's a case by case basis because I've heard I've heard some women being highly disappointed with
yep.
with some malfunctions or some bad performance reviews. I mean, just some people weren't good for the road test. So it depends on the individual. And plus, people always think about the whole thing about going to Brazil, but there's more than just going out there and get, you know, your dick wet. I mean, it's like there's a booming economy right now. There's, you know, different things out there. Maybe the person likes to travel and dislikes that location. I liked Australia because it was a beautiful place. You know, the accent was cool, and plus, you know, just the life there was wild. I mean, it was interesting. It wasn't what I was used to. So, you know, it's great to see eye candy and everything like that. But, again, you're going to have to break it down and see what else this person has to offer eventually, because that's going to get old after a while, sometimes real quick.
That's the truth. Oh, yeah, everybody wants to go to Brazil. The Brazilian women are gorgeous. So a lot of guys all the time are going to Brazil.
Well, they had their fair share of erectile deterrence. Or ugly.
What's ugly? They had a wait. You mean to say that there's ugly Brazilians?
There are some ugly motherfuckers over there, like some third world beauties over there. It's just like,
it's like every black dude's like fantasy place. I'm going to Brazil. They all have nice bodies. They're beautiful. They got good hair. Woo. Like I was hearing dudes talking about Brazil, so I'm laughing. I'm surprised.
The thing about people say that thing about Australia, they say things about Thailand, they say things in different locales. But again, like, you go to the country, you see a lot of advertisements and conversations where you, in places that people go, there are going to be some beautiful people in certain locales because you got tourism and that's where they make the money, so that's where they see money and they'll go. But you will see the country's respective hood boogers and trolls and Morlocks that do lurk around in certain areas, and they always talk about the whole AIDS. They talk about the whole AIDS thing, but still, there's AIDS here. You go to these HBCUs and certain locales in the country where people out there are sport fucking like crazy. You know, these, you know, people that they say that they have intuition, but they don't know that their so-called thug boyfriend is out there drinking thong passion. So, really. There's a whole lot going on, and like people like to say that as a deterrent, but there's a lot of life, culture, and a whole lot of things out there to offer than some people possibly getting an STD or something like that. Now, in other places, there are some STDs. Like if you catch them, you're not coming back home because you're going to be quarantined. You know, if you ever catch black herpes, that's where you're going to stay. That's where the fuck.
Why
do
all the diseases you talk about got colors? Do y'all know this man that asked me last week before we did the show? He told me, look, what did you say? You said blue, what was it, blue something?
Blue waffle, and that is the most
disgusting. Oh, my God, I almost threw up. If y'all Google blue waffle, it's not, I'm thinking it's a, you know, Eggo waffle. No, this is some nasty, I could throw up just thinking about the image in my head. Running over baby color, STD. So what is a black herpes? I've never even heard of that.
Black herpes, from what we've seen on the video, because they showed us a video on this ship an hour before we got to the inland, and, you know, they showed us an hour after we came back. And black herpes is basically some disease. It's a mutation to where you get these black calluses on your genitalia, especially for a guy. And it gets to the point where so much of it hardens and everything like that, the head of your dick falls off or wherever it goes, and then it just corrodes. That's just what the fuck it does. The blue waffle stuff, it looks like a chick dyed her genitalia with a little bit of blue ink and rolled her pubic hair with black hats. That's just what it looked like.
Oh, that shit was nasty, and I was looking at that. I almost threw up. Yeah, and I got a weak stomach, so I was like, yeah. I'm about to throw up. I was three when I saw I shut my MacBook.
Hey, it's
it
real in the field.
But the point is, you know, it's don't just assume because somebody's beautiful or they're from an exotic, you know, faraway land, you know, they could also be having an STD just like people here in the States. So, you know, you should always wrap it up and play safe.
Well, to close out the thing with the different cultures and countries, stuff like that, they had their different ways of dealing with. There's some people who prey on tourists. That's why it pays to to educate yourself on the so-called locales that you want to look at, because you can get your head chopped off in Kingston. You can get your, you can end up disappearing and have your harvest, I mean, organs harvested in different countries. You have to be very careful of people, like, you know, scheming and preying on tourists, because they know that some people come with money and ambition and they're going to get blinded by pussy or whatever. They go chase, some go chase after little boys, and they'll, extort you in so many ways. So same thing is here, but sometimes it's a little more graphic out there. So that's what I'm saying. You have to really pay attention to not just the language, but the cultures and the directions, the locales, the places where you can go and the places where you don't need to go, period.
Right, that's true. So another stereotype about black men is that all black men are thugs and they're all in jail. They all have criminal records. So that's why a lot of black women are not trying to date black men anymore, and they're moving on to white men because, of course, white men don't go to jail.
But here's the $64 million question. If these guys are supposedly thugs and whatnot, why aren't these same individuals complaining about a shortage of pussy?
Mm.
I'll wait.
Can't argue with that. Because it seems like so many of these thugs are getting people pregnant. Camera lady said that you're living that thug life, Ronan. Ronan's about that life.
I'm not your husband.
Jamal said he stopped selling drugs a long time ago.
Yeah.
I'm proud of you, Jamal. That's what's up.
Hey, it's a recession. Weed. You know, keep that weed stack up. We're going to talk about that for a while.
No, but I mean, do you think that's true, though? Like, you know, a lot of black dudes tend to have felonies, criminal records, and that's why they can't get good jobs.
You can still get work. There's a list out there of places you can get work. It may not be the most desirable that you're asking for, but...
Usually Jiffy Lube.
Well, actually, look at a guy named G. Garvin, where he had, I think, a number of felonies, but he's actually a famous chef out here. He got his own show and everything. So check out his story. You can make a story of your own. It all depends on your initiative and your willingness to win.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's stereotypes to go around for days. You know, there was, I know another one they tend to say is that a lot of black guys are not as educated, especially compared to black women. So a lot of black women want somebody on their educational level, which to me, I don't, I personally, just speaking for myself, I don't agree with that, you know, so much that a person needs to have, you know, a master's or a bachelor's or something like that. You know, is it nice? Cool. That's sure. They, you know, they dedicated time and effort into something, but I don't think that just having that certificate makes you, because there's a lot of people out here who are smart, who can do a lot of stuff, and they don't even have high school diplomas.
No. Because they've been thoroughly educated. They're not limited to the miseducation that happens here. You get a bachelor's, associate's, or whatever sometimes on a fixed arena to where you can work in that field. The real education is well beyond those walls of, you know, higher learning. You know, it's all about the school of hard knocks, which you learn out by yourself with, you know, books, reading. You have to really fill your head with some, I mean, really important information out there aside from what you learn from the classroom, because a lot of that doesn't translate into the most important situations of life.
Right. And camera lady is saying that degrees only mean that people are able to follow directions and earn a piece of paper.
Yeah.
A lot of people agree with that. You know, that's why I say I don't think it's necessarily about having a degree, you know, or having like a master's or anything like that. I mean, if you're able to learn something and apply it, you can do just as well. You know, like even like with my job, what I do, I got in the door with certificates, you know, with certs, with IT certs. And I have people that I work with, and, you know, I work with some really, really smart people. I would never take that from them. I mean, very smart, very intimidating at times. And some of them have, like, you know, bachelor's in computer science and da-da-da-da. And we're doing the same line of work. So, you know, I don't think it's necessarily about, you know, spending all that money just to so that you have a bachelor's. There's nothing wrong with it. That's the avenue that you choose to take. But I don't think that that necessarily makes you, you know, better or even necessarily, you know, as far as, like, pay, like, you know, pay grade. You may get paid a little bit more, but at the end of the day, somebody can get into that same position with a lot less. So
yeah,
it just depends, and I'm hearing, too, that a lot of those huge, those high-level degrees are kind of going out the window, too, especially like a lot of those four-year colleges, because people are not making money. Like, okay, you have a bachelor's degree in, you know, I don't know, in being a social worker. You know, it's like, but you're only making $10 an hour. So so a lot of those degrees are not even panning out for people, unfortunately.
And plus the thing is, not nowadays, it's like, it's not what you know, it's who you know. Because there's some people who are grandfathered in that only even have a third of the credentials you have. And you're sitting on the sideline looking in. So that's what happens sometimes.
Right. And camera lady saying that CEOs don't usually have degrees. Roshani, I need you to explain this for me. I need you to type it down in the chat room. She says that there's a girl who is trying to be a nurse, and they asked her to take the test for her. That's scary.
What?
You know, there are certain things that you do need your degree in nursing, dealing with human beings, dealing with the physical, you know, people who are coming to you for care. No, I want you to have your, you know, all your certifications and degrees in nursing and to be a doctor. You know, if it's something like, you know, something more simple, then, yeah, you can kind of do other things. But when you're talking about people's health, why would somebody ask somebody else to take a test for them? If you have to pay somebody to take your nursing test, you shouldn't be a nurse. You need to find a different degree that's not that hard. That's crazy.
Wipe that ass.
You need to be a CNA.
Wipe that ass.
Get a shirt. And that's crazy.
What's the next one, T?
And she's going to pay her $50 to do it.
No, this is a recession now. You need to bump that up. How bad you want to win?
That's crazy. But you know what, though? When I was in nursing class, remember I told y'all I initially went to school to be a nurse. I was going to be an LPN.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, ma'am. TT was going to be a nurse at one point in time before I went into doing IT. But I can't tell you how many of them people were cheating. When the teacher would let the teacher leave the room and go make a phone call, people would be passing answers, and people were like, what you got for number 5? What you got for number 6? And, I mean, it was crazy how many people would cheat on these tests. And when I look back on it, this was like, you know, I don't know, mighty years ago. But when I look back on it, like, some of these idiots that were cheating on the test in the classroom are now nurses.
Mm.
So it's just kind of creepy to think about that. Like, you failed your math test, but I'm supposed to entrust my body to you that you're not going to give me an overdose of morphine. Very comforting.
Yeah.
Very, very comforting. That's why I usually ask for an old nurse. I don't give a damn. I want an older nurse who's been here about 15 years.
Yeah. Not going to leave a class ring in my rib cage after surgery. I want to make sure that she knows what she's doing.
Right, Roshani said she wasn't going to do it because it's a nurse and we are the same age and she may operate on me.
Oh, hell no.
No, that's crazy, but you do. You have a lot of people, you know, who do cheat on tests and, you know, they just do all types of just crazy stuff. So, you know, but as far as, like, the whole education thing with black men and a lot of these stereotypes that we went over tonight, we have about 5 minutes left. I just think that, you know, that's what they are. They're stereotypes, you know, and that's why I wanted to bring them up. It was just to get the discussion rolling and just to talk about certain things that we see and we hear on YouTube. I know a lot of black girls, because I get the emails, are discouraged. They feel like they're rejected. They feel like black men don't want them. You know, they want to be with the black guy. They want a black boyfriend, but they feel like all the black guys are running after mixed women or white women or, you know, anything but black. And, you know, to those people who feel rejected and who feel hurt, I'll say this. You know, you can't force anybody to like you. You can't force anybody to be attracted to you. And if you have to go through all that changing yourself, You know, because a lot of women feel like they have to wear weaves, they have to wear the contacts, they have to look a certain way, they have to bleach their skin in order to get a man. If you have to do all that just to get a man, that's not a man who's worthy of your time. He's not worthy of your relationship. He's not worthy of being with you. If he can't accept you for who you are and love you for who you are, that's not somebody to chase. You know, I never understand why women want the person who don't want them. You know, if you're saying, but that's not fair. He doesn't like dark-skinned girls. So what? Let it go. There's plenty of guys out here who do like dark-skinned women. You know, they might be hard to find depending on your neighborhood or where you stay, but that's why, again, you had to get out. You had to move around. Had I never left Minnesota and I stayed here, through my 20s or whatever, you know, I probably would have thought that no black men like the black women, because a lot of black men up here tend to date white women. That's just what it is. There's more white people in Minnesota, so it's a lot of interracial dating, and that's what we grew up around. But it wasn't until I got up out of here and I went down south and I'm like, yo, you know, lots of black men down there. They like black women. They like dark skin. So sometimes you have to get up out your environment. You know, sometimes you just have to. I mean, you have a lot of people who just have issues within themselves and they want to bring you down. But I think, again, you can't force anybody to like you because everybody's going to have their preferences. Some people just don't like darkies. Okay?
Jamal. Wow.
He said he's just kidding. But I mean, it's the truth. Some people just don't like dark skinned people for whatever reason. You know, maybe they have the damn, what's his name? Uncle Ruckus. Maybe they have Uncle Ruckus syndrome. You know, some people just don't. I'm not going to force anybody to like me. You know what I mean? If you don't like me, that's fine. You know, and I think that's what a lot of women have to get through their heads is everybody's not going to like you. Just like everybody's not attracted to light skinned women. You know, and I remember that was one thing that me and my ex would go through, and I would, you know, hear mumblings from girls and stuff like, why is he with her? You know, she's dark. Why is he with her? And it's like, he likes dark-skinned women. Like, everybody's not attracted to light-skinned women. You know, my ex likes dark-skinned women. That's all he's ever talked to. He don't do white girls, and he don't do, because he's light-skinned, so he don't do light-skinned girls, and he does not do white girls. He's always dated dark-skinned. He's always been attracted to dark-skinned women. So it's like there's somebody out there for everybody. And if you feel like you have to date outside your race, then, you know, that's fine too. I mean, I don't think you should limit yourself. Is black love good? Yes. You know, and we do need to have more black people coming together as a couple, but it's to the point now where it's just so sad with the division and the gender wars. It's like, I don't know where we're going to be 20 years from now. It's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, hey, if they don't like you, you know, just tell them to drink a shaved glass and piss smoothie and call it a day. He ain't going to please everybody.
No, it's the truth, but it is. It is taking a toll, you know, on a lot of these young kids because, like I said, I get the emails, especially from the young girls, where they feel like literally everybody hates black women. Even though it's just that one, you know, person on YouTube or that one person, you know, on Gen X, or that one person's blog that you happen to run across, but a lot of young girls are internalizing it. A lot of young boys are internalizing it because what happens is the black men are saying they don't want to date black women, they're not attracted to black women, and black women need to, you know, a lot of the dudes online say that black women need to stop wearing weaves and, you know, embrace their natural beauty. And I agree with that. But then when I turn on the television, it's something totally different. So it's like we're giving people mixed signals because I know I was going through that too when I started dating again. You know, when I would go out to, like, the club or go out to events or meet and greets, and I would literally be stuck. Like, I don't know if I want to put a weave in my hair so people are comfortable or if I should just wear my afro. Is it too intimidating? After a while, I was like, fuck it. This is me. You know what I'm saying? If you don't like me, then you're just not the person for me. It is what it is. This is me. This is my real hair. You know, either deal with it or don't deal with it. And people respected that more. Matter of fact, I think I pulled more guys with my afro than when I wore weave. You know, so I don't know. I just think guys are attracted to, you know, people who have a natural look who don't have to hide behind a lot of fake stuff, like the contacts and everything else. But, you know, people are going to have their preference on what they want to wear and how they want to look. But, again, if somebody is just not that into you, just can't take it personally. You have to keep it pushing.
Yeah, I mean, it's all about that person like likes the genuine you versus the lie that you tend to perpetuate or want to co-sign it for. gotta be honest with yourself. Find out what brings the best out of you and maximize that. They can't take it for what it is. Let them be.
Right. That's the truth. And I think a lot of this, you know, drama and chaos is due to mainly, it boils down to the fact that we no longer listen to each other. You know, we no longer have a peaceful dialogue where we can all come to a better understanding. It seems like a lot of us are just on these opposite sides of the gender. Okay, you don't want to date black women? F you. I'm only going to date white men. I only love white men, and black men ain't nothing, and this, this, and that. All the while forgetting that there's a lot of good black fathers out here. I have brothers, you know. So I think you have a lot of hurt people out here, mm-hmm. and you have people who are internalizing it, people who have gone through one messed up relationship with a black woman, and now they swept down all black women are that way. Or if they've gone through a few bad relationships with a black man, now they're just, you know, writing off all black men. So I think that's the main cause behind the gender war. What do you think the main cause is, Ronan?
I think people are trying to justify mistakes that they use with the choices they make, and point the blame on other people other than themselves. Because, like, if you continue to run into the similar situations time and time again, you have to look at the source of the problem. Is a lot of times ourselves. I mean, if you don't take everything on a case by case basis, you end up losing something sick, something major. So, again, like, you keep running into someone who's always disrespecting you or disrespecting your space or showing out, look at yourself. You know, because those people that you choose are the reflection of you. So toilet water seeks its own level sometimes. That's how I personally feel about it.
Right, and camera lady saying the funny thing is that a lot of white people, they don't feel like their hair is intimidating. They don't have to take any considerations into what people think about their natural hair. And
they wear weaves.
She also says that she's right. They do, but you know, let some people tell her white people don't wear weaves. But okay, camera lady's also saying that she's never thought about her afro as being intimidating. But yeah, it can intimidate people. People, and you know what, it seems like it's mainly black folks that seem to get intimidated. Let me just keep it real. I've never really had too many, I mean, unless it's like, you know, more corporate, but it seems like with the white people, they're just more infatuated with my hair. Mm-hmm. They like to touch it and ask questions, but it seems like it sometimes intimidates some of the women. Mm-hmm. You know, like sometimes if I go out, they might feel a certain way, like, oh, she thinks she's all that because she has natural hair, and it's like, no, this is just my hair. I just, you know, I didn't even comb it. I just, you know, picked it out with my fingers and kept it moving. You know, some people feel a certain type of way. They feel like you're being too militant, or they think like, you know, you must be like super conscious, or you might be about to sell a bean pie. You know, just all types of crazy stuff that people think when they see you with natural hair. You know, it's interesting. But that's how I look at it, too. If everybody else, like I told the one man that I was doing my hair when I had a hair show, because he had all the girls, we were preparing for the hair show, and they literally had all the girls come around me, and they all were touching my hair, filling my hair. I literally felt like I was like a, you know, I don't know, a stuffed animal. But it was cool because they had never touched black hair. Like, you know, because every time they see a black girl, they always have weave in their hair. So they had never touched natural black hair. So I'm like, okay, cool. If it's a learning experience to let, you know, these white girls I got a model with, these Asian girls, let them know that black hair is beautiful. This is the texture. If y'all can wear your hair proudly, why can't I? You know, and I look at it like that, too. Like, you know, I just feel like there's no reason to have to not wear my hair. Everybody else is cool with their hair, and that, you know, nobody clowns them for wearing their natural hair. But again, I don't get those nasty comments from other races. You know, mm-hmm. most of the hate that I've gotten from my hair has been from my own race. You know, yeah. And I remember when I first decided to cut my hair, the stuff that certain people in my family said to me, like, it hurt my feelings because it was just like, because my hair was long already, but I didn't want a permit anymore. And it was like almost like they were living their, you know, their life vicariously through my hair. So they felt some type of way and I cut it. And, you know, I heard everything from you look like a boy, you're too black to be having a little afro, now you look like a little black man.
Wow.
Thank goodness you had big tits. you know, because otherwise you just look a hot mess. I mean, it was hard. It was hard that first year because my family was not feeling it. But now that my hair is growing and, it's, you know, just, and now when I blow it out, it's just as long as it was, you know, when I, before I cut it. It's like now they don't really say too much. Now they feel some type of way. Now they want to know my hair regimens, and now a lot of them are going natural. So it's just, it's inspired people in my family too. But, you know, I got a lot of backlash at first. But like I said, I'm not. I refuse to ever go back to a relaxer. You know, I may wear weave every now and then just to give my hair a break, but it's to the point now where I feel weird when I put weave in. And I never thought I would get to that point, ever. Like, it's to the point where I just, it feels weird. I don't like the texture. I hate how it's in my face. Like, and I'm glad I've gotten to that point. Because if you had asked me about 3-4 years ago, I'd have thought I needed to have a perm. I'd have thought I needed to have a weave in my hair to look attractive and, you know, this, this, and that. But it's not the case. It's not the case. I think there's nothing wrong. You know, and I'm not knocking anybody in the chat room who has a perm or who wears weave. You know, I don't knock people. It's your own personal preference. I'm just talking on my behalf.
You see what happened to Naomi Campbell wearing all that perm and weave. Like,
them damn spies, they flew away. They went bye-bye. Them spies was like, deuces. Them spies is doing too much.
How much time we got left?
It was saying 5. I think I had the thing covered up. We were down to 13. I think I had the this my little notes. It was covered up, so I thought it was 5 minutes, but nope. We're down to 13 now. So, Camel Lady saying that a lot of people think that her hair is a wig when she wears it natural. And a lot of, she agrees that a lot of black women do give her the side eye, but she doesn't give a damn. Jamal says, T, you need to get them people out your hair. Like I said, it's just a point out where I'm used to it. When we were in Vegas, me and my guy were sitting at Denny's. You know, you have to wait and stuff for a table. It was like a 10-minute wait. So we're sitting, and, you know, I'm just chopping up with him. And all of a sudden, I just feel these hands in my hair. This is on everything I love. And I just, the person's just touching my hair, stroking my hair. And, you know, I kind of froze because it's just an awkward feeling. You know, it doesn't feel bad, but it's just awkward to just have somebody in your hair. So I'm tapping my dude, like, her hand, I'm like, you know, like, looking at him, like, look and see who the hell is behind me touching my hair. And he's looking like, what? And I turned around, y'all, and it was like this old Mexican lady. She was old, like, in her 80s. She was so cute. She was like this little old lady. And her daughter was so embarrassed. It was like, Mama, sit down. Don't, you know, no, mommy. You know, they're talking to her in Spanish. Like, you don't just grab her hair. I said, no, it's okay. And she was telling her daughter to tell me in Spanish that she liked my hair. She said she'd never seen hair that big. She's like, I like it. She just kept feeling it. It was just so funny. I was just like, oh, my goodness. See, it's crazy, you know. You get used to it. It's weird. I've had people touch my hair at Walmart, at Target, just come up, and I just had to touch your hair. And I'm like, that's crazy. I would never go up and touch somebody's hair. I don't know what that's about. I would never go up and just feel like I can just touch someone's hair, but people do. People do it all the time. But then sometimes it's hard for me to keep my hands on my hair. So, I mean, I don't know. It's just soft. I like it. I take care of it. Feeling it.
It's not all stiff or, you know, just, you don't look like a microphone.
Although you can nappy at times. I ain't gonna front.
Hey, nothing wrong with nappy.
It can be nappy. And I let my cousin come over here this weekend to visit me. And it looked like I had a damn, I don't know, SpongeBob square pants on my head. My shit was just sitting straight up, flat, lopsided. Remember, I didn't know where I had been laying down. She's like, what's wrong with your hair? I said, it's in its natural state. I've been laying down all day. My hair is fine. Camera lady said you should go to a random white chick and touch her hair and see her reaction. That'd be funny. I don't know if I would do that. I don't know. It'd be interesting to do that.
You got to film
but
that.
But it's like I touch weave so much, like it doesn't even interest me. Because you know what I'm saying? When you play with weave and all that stuff so much, I don't even have no interest in walking up and touching nobody's hair. Unless it's somebody who has textured hair, if it's curly or something, I probably would. But yeah, I always find that funny. Like we were at the store yesterday, and my son ran into one of his friends, And when I tell you, I stopped dead in my tracks on everything. His friend was Asian, right? So, he, you know, they're seeing each other. You know, he's walking with his dad and it's me and the boys. He's like, you know, he says the boy's name and they give each other a little pound. The little Asian boy had an afro. Yeah, I just stood in my, I said, hold up. I said, how the hell did he, I said, how does he have an afro? He was full Asian.
That's a whole other show.
He had an afro. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, as kinky as my hair, but he had a little afro. It wasn't like that straight, stringy, you know, so I don't know if they put a permanent or what, but the little Asian boy had a little miniature afro. I thought that was the coolest thing. I said, is that his red hair? My son was like, yes. I said, how did he get an afro? He was like, I don't know.
There's a whole other show.
His hair was literally the same texture as my oldest son's hair. I thought that was really interesting. And it was a little Asian kid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he was full Asian. He wasn't black and Asian. He wasn't black Asian or black Asian, whatever they call it. He was full Asian. Yeah. I thought that was really interesting. I don't know where he got his, you know, his kinky curly hair from, but he was just as adorable.
I do, but we'll talk about that on another show.
You know how they got their hair?
Yeah, Jamal hit that nail on the head. I mean,
hold on, I didn't see his comment. What you write? Hold on. Asians are nothing but super light skinned black people. Oh. Well, then why are we acting like they don't like us?
So
that's an Asian man who made that article about black women being ugly. Actually, it seems like not all, don't you know, it's not all Asian people. It seems like some of them have issues with, you know, black people at times, which is unfortunate.
So what's the other stereotype out there? I mean, just
yeah, we're down about 8 minutes now. Let me see here. I had a few more on here about black guys. We did the jail. Most black men don't have decent jobs, and they blame the white man for all their problems.
That's comical. No. There's some who do. It's pointless. I mean, there's some who are actually entrepreneurs. Some legitimate, some freelance in another way. But it all depends on the individual. As a whole, that's pretty faulty. Pretty faulty. Some men are,
so what do you think about black men constantly blaming the white man?
There's a merit of truth, but then again, like how we managed to survive here, we found other ways around these obstacles. So that's just how it has to be. I mean, you can't sit there and pout, look for a pity party. You got to adapt and overcome, or become extinct. That's the nature of things.
Right. I mean, I think a lot of people tend to blame, you know, others for their situations. You know, I think that's just the society we live in. You know, there's a lack of personal responsibility and a sense of self-entitlement, just like the black man in Brooklyn. That was another one that a lot of black dudes, you know, just bombs. They don't want to work. And,
he
you know,
needed that beat. He needed
that beat. He's that stereotype, and that's why I said that in the video. Like, that's sad because, once again, he's a walking stereotype. People are going to think that that's how a lot of black men behave, and they're childlike, and they don't want to work, and, you know, they'd rather, you know, sue their parents and get a job, and, you know, the shiftless black man, you know, because that's the stereotype that's out there, which is unfortunate because so many, you know, black dudes and black women are out here on their stuff. And Thomas is saying that shit's getting old, in my opinion, but I can see how they say it, the new Jim Crow, but us black men still can do better. But, yeah, it is. It's really sad that people will use an excuse for their lack of motivation. That's what Camera Lady's saying. But I just think his situation was just so, I mean, it was just so deplorable. First of all, just for the fact that he's a 32-year-old aspiring rapper, fail. And then the fact that because we all go through things in life, you know, I had a hard childhood growing up. I went through a lot. You went through a lot. I'm sure people in the chat room went through a lot growing up, you know, but for you to sue your parents and your parents don't have any money, you know, it just didn't make any sense for him to actually file a lawsuit and go to the media like this was just okay. I just found the whole thing comical.
Well, it wasn't just him filing a lawsuit. It was just the courts entertaining that bullshit. If I was a judge, I would have threw the gavel at that dude. Get the fuck out of my court.
You get it right in the forehead.
How are you doing?
Across the bench. Get out of my damn courtroom. We ain't got time for that.
This bailiff beat his ass.
He had a ring in his head, but he would have had a big old knot on his forehead when he was on that news getting interviewed. I mean, he needs to get it together. I just think he needs help. Maybe he needs to be motivated. You know, maybe his parents have done all they could do for him. But, you know, again, you have some of these parents out here who do spoil their kids, and, you know, and that's what happens. You raise a spoiled brat, and he grows into a spoiled adult brat. You know, where he thinks the world owes him everything. And nobody owes you nothing in life, point blank.
That's the worst.
You know, it's just, and then the fact that he had a website with his music, his bio, I mean, it was just, it's crazy. It's like you're not too homeless when you have all this going on.
No, but, you know, his the thing is, his priorities are all fucked up. He's looking to get spoiled and still be the 40-year-old virgin in mama's house. There's no pride in that shit. I mean, you got a website, too? No.
Right. And like we said, you know, when we first started this show, there's no more shame. Can you see something like this happening, like, way back in, like, the... Let's even say, like, the 70s, the 60s, 70s.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no more shame anymore.
No.
And that's the problem.
Parents would have told your ass, like, okay, you're old enough, get your ass out there, you know, make something of yourself. Or if you think you're too grown, follow my rules, get the fuck out of my house.
Right. But yeah, it was a straight up trip when I seen that. I was just, when Ashley sent me that video, that the news clip in, I was just like, this is insane. I cannot believe he's really out here suing his parents. And he really had like this, you know, sense of entitlement. And it's, you know, you have people who were in foster care, who went through a lot growing up, and who can they sue?
Yeah.
So we're down to like the last 3 minutes here. So, you know, this show turned out to be a good show. Thank you to everybody who called in and everybody who was in the chat room. But again, let's take these and all the stuff that people are saying as just stereotypes. You know, if you know that the shoe doesn't fit and you don't behave that type of way, you're not ratchet, you're not shiftless, you're not a bum black dude, you take care of your kids, you handle your business, you're doing what you got to do, then I wouldn't even let any of these stereotypes get to you, just like with the black women. If you know you're not out here fighting and acting like a little thuggette and you're doing what you got to do in life and going to school, I think that's what we should focus on. I wouldn't even let the generalizations and people's opinions even affect you too deeply. You know, there's somebody out there for everybody. So I think eventually everybody will be able to move on. I don't know if the gender war will ever, you know, end, but I just feel like I would not want to contribute to it. I hope it ends up dying. I hope people just see the error of their ways on their own without having to blast everything on the internet for the world's entertainment. Any last words, Ronan? I think Ronan's phone must have went out. Looks like he just hung up. But we're down to the last minute here. So I want to thank everybody for coming out here. I appreciate it. So I'm going to go ahead and shut down the show, and we'll see you guys next weekend. Send me a topic, whatever you guys want to discuss for next week, Wednesday. So it's going to be at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. So I'll talk to you later. Peace out.